Welcome to the Move Without Limits podcast, brought to you by Reload Physical Therapy and Fitness. This is where we think different to move different. Reload family, please welcome back to the podcast, Adina Rubin. In our first interview, which was episode 4 of the podcast titled Women Are Not Men and the Power of Eating Real Food, that episode is still one of my favorites. Adina is to the point and as honest as they come. She's a nutritional therapy and restorative wellness practitioner and a strength coach. And today, what I want to pick your brain about, Adina, we'll see if we get to it all, fingers crossed, is the truth about strength training while on your menstrual cycle, pelvic floor training. We could talk about some hormonal health and hustle culture and how to get back to fitness after having a baby.
Oh, yes.
Do you think we could do it?
I think so. But I'm like a little too passionate about every single one of those topics. So we could get derailed.
Let's see. Well, welcome back. So happy to have you. Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Hopefully we don't have any small visitors because I thought everyone would be sleeping. But alas, The children are not.
Well, that's okay. Well, we'll see what happens. You recently had a post that I loved. And I still see people sharing around, which I love, which you said how to exercise for each part of your cycle, because women love to post about this and have a little carousel going on. But every single one of your carousel said to strength train.
Yeah.
Shed some truth on the whole strength training during different phases of your cycle stuff.
Yes. I love that post got the attention it deserved, because sometimes when I'm like writing a post like that, I'm like, ooh, this is good. Like, you just never know if the internet's gonna, you know, pick it up or not. And I think what happened was, which we see a lot in fitness trends and the fitness space in general, is like something comes to the forefront, which it's amazing that it comes to the forefront because it's something we need to be aware of and it's something we need to be talking about more, which I did discuss this on our last episode. We need to be aware of our cycles. And I think women talking about their cycles more, women becoming more aware of how their cycles works, women becoming more aware of their hormone health in general is huge and major, and it needed to happen in the fitness space. But then it just gets a little too infographic-y and a little too biohacky, where it's like, let's design strength training programs to flow with the changes in our cycle, and they're just so missing the point. And it's like trying to, in my mind, almost like pathologize the phases of the cycle and make women think that they can't train for 2 weeks out of the month, you know. And it's never from strength experts. Like, they're never coming from strength experts. It's always coming from quote-unquote hormone health experts or health coaches or people who have dabbled with some fitnessing, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they had some bodybuilding in their past, or maybe they were certified personal trainer, but it didn't go any farther than that. And then they write these posts where it's like, in your menstrual phase, you need to just curl up in a ball and do gentle stretches. And in the rest of your follicular phase, you can start, your energy starting to climb, and you can do some higher reps strength training, and then you ovulate and go for a PR or take a HIIT class because you have all this energy. And then your luteal phase comes and, oh baby, you better slow down again. You gotta do that gentle stretching again. It's like the theme is correct. Yes, many people ebb and flow in this way, but it's so pathological, you know. It's like you will not be able to do anything in your menstrual phase and your luteal phase. And sure, there's a shift in energy, but if you're strength training properly and you're programming properly, all you got to do is maybe you need to lower the reps slightly, or maybe you need to drop down a kettlebell size, or maybe you need to lengthen your rest periods, or maybe in your luteal phase, you need to just increase carbs or something like that, and it'll all be solved. You know, it's like, it just, it's a little silly.
Yeah. And it's like, we've come so far in the strength training world that why are we making these arbitrary rules?
I know. And also, not to mention that plenty of people have different shifts than that. Like,
yeah,
that is the textbook version of it. But, you know, many people have lower progesterone. So maybe X part of their cycle is more symptomatic, or many people feel more energy around when they bleed because we're more similar to men then. So like, it's just, it's a little bit not bio-individual, not strength training. And yeah, it's just one of those things that turns into a silly infographic and made someone who knows nothing about strength training be like, oh, now there's all these other rules I had to follow. Like, it's such a barrier in my mind, you know?
Yeah. It is a barrier. That's a perfect way to put it. And you would think that it matters more to stay consistent with your strength training routine, because then metabolically and then thus hormonally, that's what would help you in the long run.
Well, I'd say so.
Right. So working out only 2 weeks out of the month, like, what's that going to get you?
I know. It's silly.
Very silly. Well, I'm happy that you made that post, and thanks for sharing that now, because it is, it like, when people send that kind of stuff to me all the time, and I'm always like, how can I articulate well that this is dumb?
I know. Because it's important. Like I said, like, it's so important to understand the shifts in your cycle. It's so important also to lift up women who are talking about periods and hormones, because it's still so taboo in so many spaces. And what I'm advocating for is not that we pretend we're the same as men and compete at the same level and ignore the fluctuations in our cycle. It's more like, be aware of your cycle and your unique cycle. Like, learn to track your cycle, take your temps and pulses, pay attention to your cervical fluid. Like, all those things are so important. And then start to pay attention to your performance and see if things shift with that. Like, if you're training for something very specific, say you're training for a powerlifting meet and you start to notice, like, oh, I'm not recovering well in my luteal phase. Like, this keeps happening. If you pay attention to those things and you have those data points, it can help you. Maybe it's as simple as, I need more carbs that week, or I need more sleep, or my rest periods need to be longer, or maybe I do need a deload week, but it's not like, now I do yoga that week. It's like, maybe I can't push my maxes, or maybe I can push at a higher percentage for more reps, as opposed to like the 5 rep max I was going for. Maybe that week I train in 8s or something, you know. It's like, it's simple, subtle shifts that as we pay attention to our own rhythms, we can become more aware of. But it's going to be strength training the whole month. Like, it still should be strength training, just select tweaks, you know?
Right. Thank you for that. Next thing I really want to get into, as I am recovering from bronchitis and even personally, my pelvic floor right now has never been so tight in my life. Like, I would say I'm one of those people that maybe sometimes I've had some iffy burpees and things like that. But other than that, I feel like I have a pretty healthy pelvic floor. I'm so aware of it right now after bronchitis and all the coughing I've been doing.
Yeah, coughing in particular is like insane pressure on the pelvic floor.
Now, pelvic floor training has a pretty boring reputation. It's a lot of clamshells. It's a lot of, you know, let's hook your feet on a bench and breathe here for a long time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be boring.
Yes. Okay, there's a few things I want to say here. First of all, I do think it's okay for some things to be boring, you know? If we're talking about acute rehab, right? You know this from what the work you guys do at Reload. Yes, we're aiming to get you back to jumping and running and sprinting and throwing and all the stuff you want to do. But that acute rehab phase, there's going to be some stuff that you may find a little boring. And we're still going to put stuff in your program that you love to do to keep you coming back and doing the boring stuff. But like, some of it's going to be a little boring, you know? And I do think that in that acute phase, that early postpartum, or just in general, if there's a flare up, there's gonna be some stuff that you need to dial in that might not be as sexy or fun. And we do, especially in my programming, approach it in a way where it's like, we try to get the clients to really understand why we're doing this so that they can fall in love with that stuff, because they know the connection of like how it gets them back to doing what they want to be doing. But yeah, I think there is this thing happening in the pelvic floor world where there's so much of that emphasis on the breathing stuff and the low level stuff. And like, I think we all need to understand that life doesn't happen on a mat. So even if we start the rehab process there, like it needs to come off of the mat and come onto the track and get you jumping, get you sprinting, get you throwing, get you lifting heavy things, because kids are heavy and kids are wiggly. They're not predictable loads. So if all you ever did was some breathing drills and some dead bugs and some clamshells, like good freaking luck holding your toddler and sprinting to catch the bus or sprinting after your toddler when the ball's rolling in the middle of the street, you know, like it's just not going to prepare for you for the stuff you need to do as a mom if we keep it on the mat.
So what's your recommendations for someone who does a lot of stuff on the mat and is ready to now progress? How do you progress from mat to the sprinting, the deadlifting, the all that?
Yeah, I mean, the same way you guys approach it in a rehab setting as well is like, it's just got to be slow and gradual, but inching forward every time. And so I think something, this is crazy too, something that happens to many postpartum athletes, and I always refer to my clients as athletes just because like, if you're a human, you're an athlete, but especially if you're a mom, you're a freaking superhero athlete. So it's like if you had a history of being an athlete and then you go and have a baby, your body takes this huge, huge hit on a holistic level in terms of the like things we need to recover. And this is a big frustration that I have in the fitness space as well, where we view ourselves as athletes, we train while we're pregnant, and then we go and have that baby and we're like, boop, I'm still an athlete. I'm going to get right back to it. And it's completely ignoring what the body went through. So like, I do think there is this acute period postpartum where we really need to be intentional with rest. Like I have made many posts about this. If you are 2 weeks postpartum, get in your damn bed. Just get into your bed. Snuggle your baby and stay in your bed. Don't be a hero. That's not to say wait till the 6 week checkup with your doctor and go from being in your bed for 6 weeks to going for your first run. Like there's a lot that needs to happen between being in your bed and starting to move again. Some of that boring stuff, reconnecting, the breath work, all of it. But then what starts to happen is there's this upward trajectory of you starting to feel more connected in your body. And so maybe you've been doing some intentional rehab work. You start to lift again and you're like, hey, my glutes, my quads, they remember how to do this. And all of a sudden it starts to feel like, oh, wait a minute, I can progress my loads over and over and again because my body remembers. But the problem is that those muscles that we relied on so heavily for so long, they pick up the pace a little quicker in that postpartum training than our pelvic floor and our core and that whole system. So what I've seen a lot is athletes go from having their baby, doing a little bit of pelvic floor rehab stuff, then starting to train heavier loads. They start to feel really good. They get that excitement, adrenaline. The body is starting to remember. They start to feel strong, which is the best feeling when you go from feeling like a disconnected sack of potatoes having a baby. And then you push things a little too far. And like, yeah, your glutes were ready, but your pelvic floor was not. So we'll start to see that dysfunction show up like 3 to 6 months after you had this baby when you're like, I thought I was fine. What happened? And I was swinging the 12 kg. It was going fine. And then I picked up the 24 kg because I was like, I used to do that. I did that when I was 9 months pregnant. It was easy. And then all of a sudden you're peeing in your pants and you're like, this has not happened before. But going from swinging a 12 to swinging a 24 is a massive demand on the pelvic floor. So I know this for myself. Like that's something that I still had to dial in like crazy because there's so many moving parts when it comes to especially something like a kettlebell swing where we have like horizontal force projection. Mm-hmm. And we, to be able to maintain good pressure management in that position after having a baby is really, really hard and takes time. Like I see clients progress even with things like cleans much quicker. There's something about that bell being so far away from the hips at the top that really puts a demand on keeping those ribs down. It's really like that's tends to be a really symptomatic position. But yeah, like it may be a much slower progression than you're used to in terms of adding reps at the 12, maybe even needing to invest in like a 14 kg because the 16 is too big of a jump, you know, but the progression can need to be much slower than you're used to as an athlete, because it's not just about the glutes. It's not just about the quads. It's not just about the feet. Like the pelvic floor brings this whole other piece to the puzzle that honestly, many people should be paying attention to even before they have a baby, but that's like maybe a story for another time. But yeah, that's something I really see with athletes, especially.
Yeah. Where does this disconnect come from? Like, I mean, even myself included, like I said before, like sometimes like it's like you know, you have a pelvic floor, but you can't see it. And yes. it's not like, oh, right now I'm squeezing my butt. And I know I'm squeezing my butt, but it's so different when then you're like, okay, well now squeeze your pelvic floor. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Well, what is the disconnect?
I know. So there's a few things. I think there's a million things. I think, like you said, because we can't see it, that definitely creates some issues. Number two, I think because it's been taboo for so long that many of us, whether it's like, because it's loosely related to sex and we have maybe like shamey religious history in our world that we're like, I don't want to think about that, which happens like unconsciously for so many people. Also, the connection with stress in the pelvic floor is wild. So I think so many people are just numb in their pelvic floor because they're just holding so much stress and tension in there, and releasing it feels really scary. Mm-hmm. And I think also for postpartum women who have had fear around like what's going on with my organs, like you just kind of don't know what's going on down there. It's like, if I let go, or if I think about this, if I relax this at all, like are my organs gonna fall out,
you know? Right.
I think
just gonna pee or farts or something.
So many things there. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother thing too. I have so many clients who had like chronic history of digestive issues and didn't realize how much tension they were holding in their pelvic floor. You know, like a catchphrase on our podcast is just like, unclench your butthole, because just like everyone is walking around with clenched beehole. It's wild.
It really is.
It's wild.
Even things like, so again, going back to my bronchitis thing, but like apparently you really shouldn't blow your nose on a toilet. Is that a myth?
It's interesting that you say that, because that's one of those things too, where like there's many pelvic floor professionals who are not strength coaches who have had this weird stuff they've been telling women for so long. I have clients who come to me who were told that they're supposed to try to hold in their pee while stop their flow of urine while they're peeing, which like would not recommend. You know what
as
I mean?
As a game, as a strengthening.
As a strengthen your pelvic floor thing, which is literally what? The bladder needs to contract while the pelvic floor relaxes. It's just, this is just going to lead to so much more dysfunction. I just had a client recently who told me that she's had pelvic floor issues since she was little. She's like, when I was a teenager, I would jump and I would pee. And I went to a professional that told me to just hold in my pee while I was peeing to just like train those muscles. She's like, then I had two babies, still an issue. Mm-hmm. Then I've been consistent with your programming for 3 months, and now I can do pogos without peeing for the first time since I was 12. Like, it's just crazy how much some of this information is just missing the mark and not understanding what's actually going to get women to jump and run and play and chase their kids in a way that they don't pee in their pants or have pain, you know?
Right. I guess it's like, it is crazy, but then when you look at what everyone's told in healthcare from, you know, your knees can't go over your toes and all these other like nocebos that we have out there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I guess it tracks.
Right. No, yeah. It's, I'm not surprised, but I am upset.
Yes. So let's give me like three pelvic floor truths.
Okay. Woof. This is fun. Can one of them be unclench your beehole?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just something that I see a lot, especially because I am surrounded by many athletes and I'm surrounded by many stressed out people. And I'm surrounded by many people who have had chronic digestive issues just from like the line of work that I've been in. And I actually experienced this as a kid too. Like I was seeing a GI professional for like chronic constipation when I was like 14 or so. Realizing now that it was totally a pelvic floor issue because I was an athlete, but I didn't have great body positions. I think something that happens too is like when we're younger and female and self-conscious about our bodies. So maybe we like hunch in a certain way and that puts a lot of pressure down on the pelvic floor. And then we compensate or clench, you know? And so I was active my whole life, but I didn't understand anything about my pelvic floor, obviously. And so this chronic clenching was what a GI professional told me to just like eat more fiber cereal. Like it was not the answer. And I didn't make this connection until I had my second baby. And I was like, oh, my beehole is exceptionally tight and I can no longer poop. And this is information. And then, started to put the pieces together and figured out that it was all a pelvic floor thing.
And how funny that you're told to have more fiber. Meanwhile, like, how is it going to come out if you're clenched?
Exactly. And that's never a piece of the puzzle there. It's like, they don't even think. Like, okay, it's crazy.
Anyway.
Yeah. So what I see a lot is many women who are leaking think that, oh, I have a weak pelvic floor. When actually what's going on for a lot of the women that I work with is that the back of their pelvic floor is so clenched and tight that it's just an imbalance. And it's more about bringing balance back to the actual pelvic floor. So actually learning how to lengthen and load the pelvic floor, like eccentrically lengthen the pelvic floor in a balanced way. So like front, middle, and back of the pelvic floor all relaxing together and all coming back up and in together. Or it's a pressure management thing where we're just like, maybe the chest is really compressed and we're just putting a ton of pressure down in the front. But yeah, it's rarely, usually there's some strengthening that we need to do postpartum and reconnecting and whatever, but it's rarely just a strength issue when women are leaking. So it's going to be things like, again, bringing balance back to the pelvic floor. If we're chronically clenching that beehole, the leaking is happening because the pressure's got to go somewhere, you know? Mm-hmm. Understanding that it's more about balance, coordination, learning to lengthen and load the pelvic floor. That's huge. Another one, let's see. Myths. I feel like we said, pelvic floor rehab doesn't happen on a mat because life doesn't happen on a mat. So that's a really, really important thing that I think so many professionals, strength coach and pelvic floor experts need to understand.
Yeah, totally. Super helpful. I want to talk more about this stressed out woman.
Oh, yeah.
Because
she's around.
You know, I'm in New York City and pretty much
got the heck out of there.
Every single woman who's ever stood in front of me, I'm like, oh, you are a badass bitch and I love you, but like you're stressed.
But unclench your beehole.
But unclench your beehole. Basically. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, we got this hustle culture. Girls, we could just never do enough, right?
Never enough.
Never enough. We don't get to relax.
Yeah.
Why should we? Because we have work to do.
Yes. So much work to do.
But now what is happening to us hormonally? What is the effects of this? People are, I think I DM'd this to you, but there's this gap that I'm seeing between, okay, well, hustle culture is bad, but let's just keep doing it though. Like, yes. I'm going to tell you hustle culture is bad and to stop. But then everything you see me post is going to also be me go, 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 going.
Yes. Yes.
So how do we calm down? Why should we calm down?
Oh, man, a million billion reasons. Yeah. Well, when we think about the toll that it's taking on our hormones, it's just really tragic at this point. I mean, the thing, like you're saying, like people are saying slow down, but they're not slowing down. And we're all guilty of it.
Oh, I am. Guilty.
Because you know why? Because stress hormones feel really freaking good until they very don't.
Yeah.
Like until you completely crash and hit the wall, stress hormones feel great. That's adrenaline, you know?
Right.
Like the reason it feels really fun to rappel off a mountain is because stress hormones feel really good. And also, if you think about just how we exist and how evolution has worked, like how things have gone for us historically, when we are really, really stressed out, so a chronic acute stressor, right? Like being chased by something that's trying to eat us. Our body does everything it can to help us get away from that stress and that threat. So if you're running away from a lion and you step on a nail, you're not going to realize, you're not going to feel it. You're going to keep running. You are not going to hear sounds around you. You're going to be so focused and you are going to be sprinting away with this clarity and this focus and not feeling any of the pain of the things that you stepped on, because the task at hand is get away from the threat. And our body's really, really good at doing that. Mm-hmm. So if we're doing that chronically in our lives, I mean, it takes a massive toll on our hormone health, our cycles, our fertility, which is like our lifeblood as women. But there's all this stuff that feels really, really good. And I see this happen, you know, on the nutrition side of things, which isn't really the topic here today. But like when people are under eating, or I saw this a lot with people when keto was like really, really trendy. It's like, it feels really good. I have so much mental clarity. Mm-hmm. I can focus in a way I never have. Like this stress on the body was making us think that we're running away from this predator. And we're like, all of a sudden things are clear. Nothing hurts. I'm so clear. My head, mentally, I have never been this clear. It's like, that is stress. That is a massive stress on the body.
What a reframe.
Yeah. It's like, it's so hard to talk to, like when people go to their HIIT classes and they're on that high and they're like, I've never felt this good. It's like, mm-hmm. until you crash and burn, stress hormones are really protective.
Yeah. We love them.
We love them.
So how do we train ourselves to rely on them a little less?
Right. Well, that's the hardest part, is that the come down sucks. Like if you've been running on stress hormones and then you stop running on stress hormones, it doesn't feel good at all because you're so depleted. Mm-hmm. Like that's something that, you know, we can see a lot on like mineral testing, is like the type of stress that you are under. We get a really good picture of like what has happened to the body from a space of like depletion. Mm-hmm. If we just see all those minerals bottomed out, like it felt really good for a while, until we crashed and burned, and now we are running on empty and it feels like garbage.
Mm. So how do we support this come down?
So it comes down to like building it up really slowly. It's a lot of, again, like there's going to be a big mindset piece to it, because if that's something you've been doing for so long, it really isn't going to feel good and you have to fill that space. Like you could just feel crazy, you know? But yeah, I think minerals and proper nutrition are a huge, huge piece of it. Proper programming and just supporting the body, getting the sleep, getting the sunlight, getting outside, like all the basics that we know. But like, yeah, it's just, it's a lot and it's hard. And but yeah, I know. It's a tricky one.
A bit of schooling here. And what is happening to like women's hormones specifically from cortisol?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things at play here that are very important for people in the fitness space to understand. Number one, we have to understand that stress is really hard on the body and it demands resources. So if you are chronically stressed, your body is pulling from those resources constantly. So those are things like magnesium, sodium, potassium. Obviously, we need carbohydrates and protein, and fat. But I never mention that just because I feel like if people are eating animals, they're getting enough fat usually. Mm-hmm. So when we think about those resources, and we know that our food is so depleted of those things anyway, and then we're using them up in droves when we're under stress, it's nice to see like electrolytes really creeping into the fitness space. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, not just my perspective, from mineral testing, we see that most of the like really popular brands are just a little bit imbalanced for what the body actually needs. Like many of them are extremely high in sodium and just not nearly enough potassium, which most people are not getting enough of anyway. Magnesium also is really hard to get from food. Like a lot of people need to be using magnesium transdermally, like using, you know, lotions. A lot of people are doing Epsom salt baths, which is awesome. But
I have a spray that I like.
Yes, sprays are great. Those can burn like a mother before you're ready for them. Like when your body is so depleted of magnesium, if you try to spray it on sometimes, or if you've like recently shaved, careful now, you know? those types of things are so important to think about when we're trying to support the body, because our body needs minerals for literally every function. We need to build those cells out of them. We need them to run, just to function, brain function, hormone health, the whole, like every single thing in the body, detoxification, we need minerals. So when we're chronically depleting them and we're not giving our body what it needs, we're just, you know, overrunning on those withdrawals. And that can have a massive impact on our hormone health. So something as simple as including mineral-rich beverages that are actually balanced, that are actually doing what you want them to do on a very regular basis. Like you'd be shocked at how depleted so many people are.
Yeah.
That can be really protective for our hormone health. And then if you just think about things from an evolutionary perspective, like if our body as women is designed to make babies. Mm-hmm. And even if that's not something that you want in your life, fertility is a massive, massive sign of our health. Because historically, if there was a massive threat like famine, or we didn't have shelter or something like that, huge stressors, the body would know this is not a time to make a baby because it is not safe here. And we don't have enough food for mom and baby. So shut it down. And so stress, there is a lot of physiology at play, but if we just think about that, stress shuts down fertility, and fertility is our cycle health. So for many of us, we may have been on hormonal birth control for so many years or still are on hormonal birth control, so we don't actually get that feedback from the body. But if we just understand that on a hormonal physiological level, when cortisol is higher, things like estrogen, progesterone specifically, our ability to ovulate, our ability to have healthy cycles, it's not present when there's this constant cortisol, adrenaline flooding through the body. From that perspective, and then the depletion that happens that actually gives our body the ability to do things like have healthy cycles, make babies if we want them, it's just not a good picture.
So many women need help with it.
Yeah.
What programs do you have running currently?
So currently I'm not doing things on the nutrition side. I took a big hiatus with that when my baby was born and all that good stuff. But I run a program called Strength Training for Happy Hormones. We do a version of it self-paced and a version plus coaching, me and Veronica Freitag, my assistant coach. She's the best.
Hey, Ving.
Yeah, the best. So we have strength training for happy hormones, and we have a continuing membership for the women who go through that program. It's like our alumni continued training membership, and it is the best community on the planet. It's just like, I was reflecting today on this a little bit, actually. Coming from myself, coming from like that just truly disordered eating, disordered fitness world of like, let me do a million HIIT classes and eat as little as possible, to running this community of women who every week we set our weekly goals, and their goals are always like fuel properly, eat more, get better snacks, have more mineral hydration this week. Like, to be part of a community of women who are all just so focused on their strength, their hormone health, fueling their body properly, loving on their body, celebrating their body for the strength that it has, for the wonderful food that we get to eat and fuel ourselves with. Like, it's lovely. It's really the future of fitness for women, and it's so fun.
And do you have only one group? It's like postpartum and people, like everyone?
So yeah, so we're actually building out a self-paced postpartum program right now, which will be ready in a couple of months. We're in the middle of programming out the current block of our STHH club, the monthly membership. And then our next big project is our self-paced postpartum program, which is going to be so freaking good, because it's literally going to take you from being in your bed and all of the supports that you need, food, lifestyle, movement, and then getting you back to running, jumping, sprinting, lifting heavy, you know, 14 weeks later, or however you pace that for your recovery based on your birth.
Yeah.
But I'm so, so excited for that. But the way that it works inside of our monthly membership right now is the women are all in one group. So they all support each other in like the community spaces, like where we set goals, where we celebrate wins, where we ask questions, where we chat and hype each other up. But then in the actual training app, there's different programming groups. So if you are coming straight out of strength training for happy hormones, you just have your basic foundational kettlebell skills, you know, you learned how to deadlift, squat, push, pull, all that stuff, Turkish get up. Then you can join us in there for like level one. We just start to build on those skills a little bit. We also have a level two, which is like slightly more advanced skills and a little bit quicker progressions with things like conditioning and stuff like that. But we also have postpartum, prenatal, and those are both phased out. So if you're like newly pregnant and you just want your training to be a little bit more intentional about supporting, you know, some aches and pains that might come up in pregnancy and things like that. And then we have a phase two of that, which is like when you're getting much closer to labor and it leans a little bit more on slowing down, labor prep, understanding relaxation of the pelvic floor, understanding what movement capabilities you need to have at the pelvis for successful vaginal delivery and that kind of stuff. And so it's awesome. It's really like, when I think about just like how many women have gone through that program the last 2 years and how many incredible women are inside of that space, it's like, how did we do this? Like, the internet is crazy. How did we find these people? How did they find us? It's like, it's so cool.
It really is so cool. So I don't know what was in the water a couple months ago, but I currently have 4 pregnant clients.
The best.
And it is crazy to me because they each are so insanely different. They're around the same weeks-ish even. And I'm like, you are completely different from you and you. And they need each other though. Like, they need to be like, hey, you got to hear what happened to me.
I know.
Or how are you feeling? Or like, women need each other.
I am a huge believer of that. Community is everything.
Like, that you have built that out is just so amazing.
It's like such a privilege and so much fun to be able to support these incredible athletes, like at these pivotal moments. You know, like my favorite thing is when people ask me, like, can I do this program while pregnant? I'm like, can you? Like, you have to do. Are you kidding me? Like, you're trying to have a baby, not be strong. Crazy.
And I'm like, okay, good luck with that.
Yeah, seriously, what? You're going to have a baby and not learn what your pelvic floor does before that? What?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think I have a lot of hope, though.
Yeah, no. It's trending in the right direction.
Yeah, we're trending in the right direction. But like, conversations like this where you can kind of like be like, You know, that's the silly sounding, right? Yeah. You know, just like let people know what sounds silly.
Yeah, so silly. That's my favorite though. Like doctors do it too. Even pelvic floor specialists do it too if they're not strength focused, where like someone has, you know, they're leaking or they're experiencing, even if they have like a diagnosed prolapse, right? It's like, okay, so you have this prolapse, so just don't lift anything over 10 pounds. Like they're gonna lift their 40-pound kid. So why don't we actually teach them how to build to that safely, symptom-free in the gym so that it's not a massive stress on their body and a huge demand on their pelvic floor when they try to put their kid into the car seat when they haven't lifted anything else? Like, it's just
right.
Wild.
Right. Like, we can't be afraid of the demands of real life.
Yes.
Like, we're very wild. Strong. We'll be okay. We just need, we need the progression and regression of things.
Yeah, that one really gets me
angry. Yeah, I hope that one goes away.
I think it's going to take time. It's going to take time, but it's happening.
Little by little.
Yeah.
If someone wants to join you, how do they get in touch with you?
Great question. Very easy to find on Instagram. It's AdinaRubin_. And you could shoot me a DM there. Also, I can put the, if postpartum is something that you're interested in, I can put the, I can give you the link for the postpartum waitlist for the show notes. Yeah. That'll be ready in the next couple of months, I hope. We're hoping like April is like our upper limit. So yeah, that's going to be so fun. I'm very excited for that.
Okay, cool. So everyone check the show notes. And then I do have another question for you.
Yes.
I love learning from like leaders like you, who you learn from, and like you're so great and you have such a great personality and you're so humble and like, and you are definitely a very empowered woman that's inspiring others. But like, where'd you get it from?
That's
who are your mentors?
So now I feel like I have to say a woman, but
you could say anyone. I mean, you're you.
Yeah. I think, I mean, as far as just like giving no shits, just doing things my way, like that was definitely a theme in my family. Like my mom was always telling us like, you are a strong and powerful woman. And my parents were very, I would say permissive in their parenting, just in that like, I never fit the mold and they were fine with that. You know, like I always say, like if they had tried to put me in a box or tell me like I had to do my homework or tell me that like I it would just not have gone well, you know. So I've always had just like a very rebel personality, and the fact that they like allowed that to, you know, like get this degree, but then do this different thing. Like I think that really allowed me to get to where I am now. But when I had originally seen this question from you, I was just kind of reflecting on some of those early experiences before we got to where we are now. And I was thinking about, it's so like clear in my mind, which is, I feel like what makes me understand that it's an important interaction. But I was in, so I had known Chow for a while already because he was working at the personal training studio that I went to school at with Angelica, like the whole crew. But a few years later, we had stayed in touch, and we met him at a Whole Foods in Columbus Square. I was living around. It had to have been either 2015, sometime between 2015 and 2017. And it was when he had the idea for Reload. And we sat and we got coffee in Whole Foods. And he was telling me about this vision for a space where trainers and PTs, and it feels like a gym, but we're all lifting each other up. And I remember being like, I'm about to have babies, so like, I'm not going to work on a gym floor. I know I got to do something different. But it just set in motion this idea that like, it can look like anything. It doesn't have to look like you work in the gym and this is how you are a trainer. Or, you know, it was like, the world is our oyster. We can help people however we want to help them. If we have this vision of what it looks like to be a strong woman, to understand your hormones, understand your pelvic floor, be able to train in community, but we're all at home in our pajamas with our kids. Like, it can look like anything. And like, as long as you have a cell phone and a dream, it can look like anything, you know?
Yeah.
So when you were talking about expanders, like this idea of people who just like expanded your vision, I think like hearing him talk about this thing where it was like, he was just a PT and it was like, you just see clients in a clinic and, you know, you see them for 5 minutes, you give them the printout. That's what it was. But then he was like, but what if it looks different? And what if we all get strong? And what if we all just always want to learn everything? And what if we build this massive community of professionals who aren't competitive with each other, but all just love what each other are doing and lift each other up? And anyways, I was reflecting on that experience. So love you, Dr. Ryan Chow. And it's pretty cool. It can look like anything.
It really can. Oh my God, I love that. I'm going to be thinking about that all day long. Thank you for sharing that.
I literally could like tell you where the stain was on the table I was sitting at. Like, it's so, I didn't realize how important that meeting was, but I remember it so clearly.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful to have all of you in my life because you all are such big dreamers.
Oh, dreamers, the best people.
Oh, and it makes me so happy because we just like, we need each other. We really do.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's good stuff. Thank you.
This is so lovely.
It really was.
So getting to connect from around the world. I love it.
Yeah, the best.
Come back anytime.
As long as my kids are sleeping, I'll be there.
It's true. It's true. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Reload's Move Without Limits podcast. I hope listening today has resonated with you, helped, and inspired you to take action. See the notes in the description for a rundown of the episode with all the important links.
If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share this with a friend and tag us on Instagram at reload.pt.
We love feedback and would be so grateful if you could write a review. It really helps us out.
For more information of our services and events, you can go to our website at www.reloadpt.com or find us on YouTube.
Enjoy your day and talk soon.